I have for you just a Bible study, a gathering of verses. So I'm going to give you a title, and then I'm going to give you a bunch of verses. And but they are gathered in such a way as to emphasize the Apostle Paul himself, a pattern of prayer. So let's look at this. Number one, Paul, as a proper biblical pattern. Should we be following his example? The answer is yes. Acts 20:23, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. What is he saying? I worked tent making, you know, to supply his own needs and those of his fellow laborers while he was doing the work of missionary. So I have showed you how to deal with this. 1 Corinthians 4:16, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. The word followers here is the word to imitate, imitator, be imitators of me. 1 Corinthians 7:7, for I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, another after that. He's actually talking about his marriage arrangement. At this time he didn't have a wife, but and he said that gives me a freedom that I wouldn't have if I was a husband and needed to take care of and deal with my wife. 1 Corinthians 11:1, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Philippians 3:17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. He says, follow me and note other people that would be good people to follow. Philippians 4:9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. He says, notice what I've done, how I talk, how I teach, and then do those things. This is how brand new Christians learn what being a Christian is like. 2 Thessalonians 3:7, for yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we have behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast the form of sound words. What sound words? Which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So, we are following him. If we're going to follow him, what will we look at? Well, first of all, or second of all, I guess, Paul's habits of prayer. In all that he's written, he mentions this several times. Romans 1, and then verse 9 and 11. For God is my witness, whom I serve with, or in my spirit, in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. So it sounds like he was praying a lot and praying for the Romans every time he got to pray. He hadn't met them yet. Verse 11, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. I included that because that is part of what he was praying, you see, part of his prayer vigil. Then over in Romans 9, 2 and 3, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed or separated from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. You say, well, it doesn't talk about prayer, it talks about wishing. But this same word is also translated prayer. In 2 Corinthians 13:7, now I pray to God that you do no evil. That's the same word translated wish in Romans 9:2-3. And then James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Wish for one another. That doesn't sound right. So pray is right. And to follow up on the Romans 9, my kinsmen according to the flesh, a great heaviness, sorrow. He says in Romans 10:1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So praying for his own kinsman's salvation. Nobody gave him more problems, spiritually, physically, economically, everything, than the Jews. Wherever he went, Gentiles were kind, the Jews were evil to him. But he faithfully prayed. 1 Corinthians 1:4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. So he's doing that always. When was he doing it? He was doing it in prayer. 2 Corinthians 6:4-5. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, meaning sometimes we're needy, in distresses, in stripes, that's the stripes on your back when you get whipped, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, and then he says in watchings and in fastings. These are things that you do in prayer. Watching is through the night, getting up and praying through the night, and fasting is when you're in fasting and prayer. Galatians 4:19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. He says, I labor, travail here is birth labor, you know. And he says, I'm trying to see you born again, and I'm trying to see you Christians come to the point where you have transformed into the image of Christ. And I'm going through birth pains, hoping to see Christ formed in you. That was his labor of prayer. Ephesians 1:16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So whenever he's talking about giving thanks, he's not just saying, well, walking along and say, thanks for them. He's talking about in his prayer. Ephesians 3:14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I didn't add in what he was bowing about, but this is his act of prayer. Philippians 1:3-4, I thank my God upon every remembrance or mention of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy, praying for them all the time. Philippians 1:8-9, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment or in sense. Colossians 1:3-9, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, since we heard of your salvation. Colossians 2:1, for I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you. Looking up the great commentators, they all generally believed that this great conflict was the conflict of his soul in prayer, referring to his praying. 1 Thessalonians 1:2, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. 2 Thessalonians 1:3-11, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, as proper, because your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. The charity, true Christian love. Then in verse 11, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count or vouchsafe you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. 2 Timothy 1:3, I thank God, whom I serve with my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. That's a pretty heavy prayer schedule. And Philemon verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. That phrase, that combination of thoughts, he says several times. What did he pray about? We find the certain verses tell us about the contents of Paul's prayers. Ephesians 1:15-19. These are larger passages because we're following through what he says he's praying about. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, found out you got saved, great, and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, what? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. He's asking for these young Christians to grow in the knowledge of God, spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him. And praying that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, to understand what heaven means, to understand what being a son of God forever means, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, according to the working of the might of his power. So he says to understand the power that God has given you through salvation, that you could just understand this. Ephesians 3:14-19 he mentions, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father. What cause? Of whom the whole family of earth and heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit, spiritual might, in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height of what? And to know the love of Christ. You see, breadth, length, depth, and height, four dimensions of the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. In Philippians 1:9-11, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. It's like love growing up is bounded on one side by knowledge and filled with the knowledge of his will. Where am I? I missed it. Knowledge and then all judgment or proper sense, evaluation. So love just not scattered but concentrated. That you may approve or try, test things that are excellent, not just settling for good things, looking for the best things. That you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. To the Colossians he wrote, chapter 1:9-11, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. You see the pattern here. People were getting saved. New people were getting saved. And he was at work praying for them to grow, for them to be edified in the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 3:12-13, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, we who came not knowing you and shared the gospel, we showed love to you. You do that to all men. To the end, to the purpose, that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. At the end time, when you stand before Christ for the judgment seat of Christ, that you will win the crowns, you'll win the sparkling robes of his righteousness. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, make you completely holy. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let me end with not forgetting the fact that Paul requested prayer. He asked for prayer. Romans 15:30-32, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So as I'm praying for me, I want you to join, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe or are disobedient. This is that kind of belief that obeys, and they don't have it. In Judea, these would be the Jewish people that were giving him such trouble, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints, that great offering that he got together, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. So he says there's things coming up, and I just wish you'd pray about it. 2 Corinthians 1:10-11, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, he past tense delivered us, and present tense doth deliver, and in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Past, present, and future deliverance. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. So he really is saying here, death looming over us, he has delivered us, he is delivering us, and he will deliver us, but we need your help in prayer. Ephesians 6:18-20, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So praying for all saints and for me. What did he want? That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. Contradiction of pictures there. I'm an ambassador, but I'm in chains. That therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. To the Colossians, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, and for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest, just open to everybody, as I ought to speak. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. Very simple. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, finally, my brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have or run free course and be glorified even as it is with you. And finally, Philemon verse 22, but withal prepare me also a lodging. He's in prison, but he says, prepare me a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. So, prayer may be one of the defining characteristics of the Apostle Paul. And if we are to recognize the impressiveness of Paul, it will not be in his commanding presence. He said that people look at him and say, this is the great Paul? He wasn't all that powerful looking. But it was in the power that came through prayer and by prayer. Does that bring up comments or questions? How about an amen? Amen. Amen for his prayer.